About with that in mind, I'd ask you to listen as I read the Gospel of John, chapter 14, to you. It will be a very familiar passage, and I expect it to be done preaching by this time in the service already, so I'll try to do this as quickly as possible. And do not expect this to be normal. Jesus said to his disciples, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this word today. Thank you for the opportunity to be in the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for the years you've given me here and across time since you called me. And thank you for what you laid before me. Lord, we do lift up this congregation to you. As Scott Walsh comes, bless him and Jan as they come. Particularly, we thank you for the gifts you've given to Scott. We ask, Lord, that you would use them in this place for your glory and your honor. Pray for this church, lift it up to you, and ask your blessing upon their future, their vision, and their mission in this part of Canton, Ohio. We love you, we praise you today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have an iPhone set the way mine is set, I'll be honest with you, I don't know how it's set. It just does this. Oh, by the way, this chair is mine. Anyway, if you have an iPhone and it's set the way mine is set, you know that when you go to certain places and you walk out at a certain time of day, or in other words, like if you go to work, and it gets to the end of your work day, or you go somewhere you normally go and it gets close to the time you'd typically leave, the iPhone will pop up on it and say, "You now have a 15-minute drive home." And it'll do that every day. And for, I don't know, how, as long as iPhones have done that, last 4 or 5 years, I'd be here at the church, and at the normal time of day, my phone would pop up and say, "You've got about a 7-minute drive home. It'll be so many miles, and you can get home." Funny thing happened a couple weeks ago. My phone started saying to me, instead of 4696 Meadowview Drive, which is your parsonage and has been my home for the last 12 years, I think. I'm not sure if it's 12 or 13. It started going to 512 Glenwood Street. And it says, "Now you're going home at a different location." It's been doing that for about 2 weeks. Just about this past week, I was over at the parsonage cleaning, and Janice was somewhere, and she said to me, "I'm going home now." And then she said to me, "You know, I just made the transition." She said, I'm now talking about there for home and not where you are there at that place that is home. We bought the old Vic Zoller home, and Vic and Doris may be proud or they may not be happy with us. I don't know, but We've done quite a bit of changing. Today, my daughter Rachel, her husband Austin is there, and of course, the esteemed Easton Chenoweth Papp is in the house. You've heard so many stories about Easton, and we are so glad you're with us, Easton. But those three people sitting back there, along with a little help from a few others, but they have turned that house upside down. I have a kitchen of the rich and famous. And I don't deserve it, but I have a kitchen of the rich and famous, and the rest of the house just looks so wonderful. Rachel has an eye for design. She has a husband that listens to her, and they have turned that place upside down. If you're ever looking to do anything, I could give you some recommendations. The guy that did the cabinets is a guy named Caleb Lappish, and he's starting his own company, and we were his first customer. And if you ever want to find something done, he's your guy. But they have turned that house where we are going to into a home. You know, the funny thing about home is that we think of it often as a place. You might even say that home is where your people are, your children, your spouse, your family, whatever it may be. I'm not sure that's quite exactly right, but it tends to be what we do. When I was born, I lived at 2207 Michigan Avenue in East Liverpool, Ohio. First 6 years of my life were wonderful. It was home. But the next 6 years of my life, my dad got cancer, and it was really not a place I wanted to be. Every time I came home, it was pretty ugly. What was happening with him, and affected me for the rest of my life. I moved in next door with my grandmother to take care of her from age 12, right after my dad died. Then my grandfather died. Somebody had to be with grandma. That became home for me, and I moved over there, and I probably stayed there for about 10 years taking care of her when I wasn't working and going to college and all those things. And then home became my friend's house. I had a room at Ed's house for a year or two, lived at his cottage at the lake for a while. That tried to be home. But in all those things, I just kept moving. And of course, then when you go into the ministry, you live in parsonages and you live in varying conditions. And I could tell you horror stories about that, and I could tell you wonderful stories about that. But we called all those places home. But I'm not sure that that is quite exactly what it is. Someone said that home is where the heart is. I don't know if that's right. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and I'll receive you to myself, so that where I am, there you can be also. As much as I love what has been done at 512 Glenwood Street, I'm also very confident that that is not my home. We used to sing at the old Boyce Church this song. I'm sure some of you have heard it. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. This world is not our home. When you know Jesus, there's a better place. And Jesus went to prepare that place for us. You used to hear the old timers, they would say, I'm going home now. That's what they meant. They meant that they were near to death. I have, this thought occurred to me this week in thinking of what I'd say to you. I have been in my ministry at the bedside of many people that have gone, that have passed away, that have died. The strangest thing I've ever seen are the handful of folks who knew, and this happened a number of times, who knew, you know, that they had their spouse in the room with them, they had a family member or two or three with them, but there'd be one person missing that meant something to them. And that person would show up, and within minutes, they'd let go. Or they'd be told, you know, in their ear, I'm here now, and it's okay. And they'd let go. I don't know how that goes, but it seems like people are involved in what home is for us. And yet home is not here, because Jesus didn't build it here. He built it somewhere else. He went away to prepare a place for us, so that where he is, we can be. And he didn't say it just to make us feel good. He said it because he meant it. Home is a place where God is. And I'd hate to find that some of you were not able to make it home. You know, yesterday we had the service for Shelley Dorshuk here at the church. There was a pile of people that came through here. And a handful of the people that came through here yesterday used to call this church home. Well, home is no longer here for them. Home is somewhere else. For a while, I myself, your pastor, have called you my church home. I won't do that tomorrow. Tomorrow will be a different day, and I'll have to figure out what I'm doing for a church home. I haven't got that quite secure yet, but I'll sort that out. Home is not where any single group of people is. Home is not where my family is necessarily. Home is where Jesus is. He has prepared my future. He has laid out my future in such a way that he wants me to be with him. Paul the Apostle wrote these words. we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home here in this body, we are away from the Lord. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute before I go to the next verse. Jesus technically isn't here, but when he left, he said these words, "My comforter I leave with you. The one who I'll send in my name, I'll leave him with you." And so God hasn't left us without someone. He gave us the third person of the Trinity for the Christian to be with them. But Jesus isn't here yet. We're not quite home. We've got his presence. We've got his comfort, his compassion, his infilling. But we don't have all that he's prepared for us. It just isn't going to happen in this life. That kitchen up there at the new house on Glenwood looks wonderful. They put handles on it. They call them pulls. This week or next, we're going to get a countertop put in a sink. We've got a refrigerator that costs more than any car I ever bought. It's a fancy uptown kitchen. I've been told I'm not allowed to go in there. But anyway, it is happening, but it's not home yet because Jesus isn't there. Paul said we're of good courage while we're at home here in this body. We're away from him, so we're not home yet. And he says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We know that what he said is true. We know that his promise to go and prepare a place for us means there is a place for us. When Abraham and Sarah were called to go to a land they'd never seen before, Abraham packed up the U-Haul, put the rocking chair on top of the station wagon, and they headed out, didn't they? They didn't know where they were going. They didn't know how they were going to get there. But there had been a promise made by God, and they followed that promise. I hope you today follow the promise of Jesus that he's got a place for you, because God's people landed where they were supposed to be. They got the promised land. They came to a land that flowed with milk and honey, and they enjoyed it. God's prepared a place for us. And though we can't touch it, and though we can't see it, we know that it exists. By faith we know this. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, but it's the evidence of things we can't see. We walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Can I tell you something? I love each and every one of you. But if I had the option this minute to be with Jesus, you'd be in the dust. That's what Paul's saying. Paul's saying we know that we'd rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So, whether we're here or we're there, we will make it our aim to please him. Home is not where the heart is. Home is where Jesus is. Church, you've been my church home for the last 12, 13 years. We've gone through a whole lot together. We have gone through good times, we've gone through happy times, and we have gone through really a few tough times. I want to stop and just take a moment to say to you, the preschool was worth the hassle. The food pantry is worth the hassle. Elevate Life, it's your future. You better support it, you better make it work, and you better see to it that it really transforms this community. Share Canton, it's worth the hassle. Appreciate the work that Bill does. Celebrate Recovery, it's needed. You are no longer who you were. I'm no longer who I was when I came to you. Many things have changed. At the end of the day, I'd say they're for the better. I don't say that to you hopefully. I don't say that to you as if I don't believe it. We're better for what we've been through. And your future with Scott Walsh really looks good. If I had to give you a picture of what heaven looks like, it looks something like this. In Revelation chapter 7, John writes of the vision that God gave him. And I want you to pay attention to what's said here, because this is going to be the last scripture you get. I'm getting near the end. He says, I looked and behold a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from every tribe and people and language. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. And they cried out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come? And I said to him, Sir, you know. And he said to me, These are the ones who came out of the great tribulation. They've washed their robes, they've made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they're before the throne of God. They serve him night and day in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. There'll be no more hunger nor thirst. The sun will not hurt them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb is in the midst of the throne, will be their shepherd. And he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That's the place. When Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, that is the place. People from every land and nation and tribe. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more suffering. In fact, the way that God intended for things to be. And I say that to you to say this. God did it to set things right. He did it to set things right. What sin has demolished, Jesus puts back together forever. Home. At this part of the service, some of you are going to say, what's he doing? Just stay with me for a minute. I don't know why, but as of late, I've been listening to Mercy Me quite a bit. And there's a song that they wrote, that he wrote, called Almost Home. And because I know sometimes it's hard to hear lyrics, I'm going to read it to you. Are you disappointed? Are you desperate for help? You know what it's like to be tired and only a shell of yourself. Well, you start to believe you don't have what it takes, because it's all you can do just to move, much less finish the race. Don't forget what lies ahead. We're almost home. Brother, it won't be long. Soon all your burdens will be gone. With all your strength, sister, run wild, run free. Hold up your head, keep pressing on. We are almost home. Well, this road will be hard, but we win in the end simply because of Jesus in us. It's not if, but when. So take joy in this journey, even when it feels long. Oh, find strength in each step, knowing heaven is cheering you on. We're almost home. Brother, it won't be long. Soon all your burdens will be gone. With all your strength, sister, run wild, run free. Hold up your head, keep pressing on, for we are almost home. I'll leave here today, and I'll tell you I'm going home. But it doesn't mean 512 Glenwood. It's where I'll arrive today eventually, but I want to commit to you, and I hope you'll commit to me, that if I don't see you in Canton, Ohio after I leave this place, and I probably will, that I see you when you get home. It's debatable about what I'm about to show you. I debated it with myself, but I'm gonna share it with you right now anyhow. When I was in, the whole time I grew up actually, I was never the first person picked on the kickball team or the baseball team or the football team or the soccer team or the chess team or the debate team. Never was the guy that got picked first. In fact, a lot of times I was left standing on the wall, if you know what I mean. But
only one that ever picked me first, and that's Jesus. And I'm going to show you a video right now. It actually has that tune almost home set to it. We may break copyright law right here. I hope Eric's got me covered. You're going to see, I'm going to explain it to you a little bit. It's the actual video that Mercy Me put together for this song. You're going to see a guy in a spacesuit. And what I want you to understand about the guy in the spacesuit is it's that feeling of not being at home, of not being picked, of being separate that I want you to see in that. But just watch this video and please pay attention to the words and see how it ends, because I think there's a real good message in it.